Previously on Midlifing.
Oh, how are you?
I'm good. I've had a strange week.
Strange how?
I don't think strange in any ways that are at all interesting to listeners. Just in case my sister is listening, who said to me the other day, you know, you both sometimes just don't talk about anything.
Is there anything else you need to get off the deck before we crack on with the, as you say, heart of the matter for you, Susan?
I think the next thing I was thinking about is probably going to be too long for getting off my chest. So you go.
It's so fucking complicated, Simon. It's so big. It's so unwieldy. I'm not going to suggest to anybody to do anything. I'm just going to continue fucking it up and making a mess and saying sorry a lot. Susan, was that enough of about something for you?
This is a podcast in which two friends talk about the pleasures, absurdities, and imperfections of being human. I'm Simon Ellis.
And I'm Lee Miller. Welcome to Midlifing.
So, as part of the strange week I've had, and it doesn't sound, it's not nearly as... heated for me as it sounded, these events have sounded for you this last week, or was it the week before, depending on which episode this is in, which is that there are several, two or three, dance courses have been shut down.
I had a couple of places named to me while I was away in the Netherlands because I was examining a dance PhD. And don't be mad, it was mostly yoga that I was dealing with. So it was a dance and yoga PhD, and I was there for the yoga, not for the dance. Is that okay? You're not too mad. But I similarly had
not
the...
Mad at all.
Have you heard about X and Y being closed down?
And
I hadn't, but it's like, whoa, okay, so there's a couple of places.
Yeah, and it's part of a long, that's been a series, you know, of different, there's quite a long list now of dance courses. These are higher education, after school dance courses, differing sizes, but they're all, it's very hard to imagine a different future other than the closure of all of them. We're only going in one direction at the moment. And it's a really curious experience and lots of different reasons for that. But I was talking to a colleague yesterday who went through such a course and said, you know, but I wouldn't, even though I went in with these particular ideas about being a dancer, what it exposed me to in my understanding of writing and thinking about and ideas and a kind of way of thinking about the world really changed her life, you know, changed their life. And it seems like that the kind of erasure of those places, whether you think dance is trivial or not, as a human pastime, is this tremendous loss to the what we're implicitly and explicitly saying is okay to be involved in. It's hard for me to kind of articulate this, but it's a very odd idea because I sort of tend to think of universities as being places which are make things possible for people. But of course, that ship sailed a long time ago. Even when I was at university as an undergrad, really, that ship was certainly it was tooting its horn and about to leave the port. The ships toot their horns, and so, yeah, there's something that kind of increased, maybe we're getting into university land here, which I'm not sure about. But anyway, I won't say any more for now because I'm just aware of rabbiting on a little bit. So I'm curious to hear, and maybe there's just something about the instability or the precarity of that when it's the art form that I've, you know, dedicated most of my, pretty much all of my adult life to, seeing that slip away for various cultural reasons, which is tricky.
I think dance in a university context has always been the canary in the coal mine for me. And I think it's so easy for desk-based researchers working in the humanities to just kind of go, yeah, but it's just people rolling around the floor, isn't it?
Well, really, you and I have made the same joke. You know,
we've made the same joke having been committed to supporting the structures for a really long time.
Sure, sure.
You know, so it's our joke to make. Yeah, we're allowed to make light of it, and maybe that's a fundamental flaw of academics who work in the performing arts, is that they know how ridiculous it can be understood to be, which is not the same as how ridiculous it is,
and well, also how ridiculous it can be as well.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
like all as we've definitely talked about, anything
that you are engaged in an intellectual debate about gets stupid,
highly specialised, etc.
Yeah, I was in a conversation not that long ago about what particular social science methodology was appropriate for capturing a particular type of activity. And I just found myself going, like, it fucking matters. Because the outcome is going PhD to be supervisor. The same. I am a great PhD supervisor because I regularly say, like, it fucking matters. But it wasn't.
I'm going to quote you.
It was because people were arguing about. It was the people were effectively arguing about: should I have a Porsche or should I have a Ferrari? It's like, they're both fancy cars. They both go forward and backwards, and they both cost a lot of money. It doesn't really matter. Just fucking choose one. You know what I mean? It's like they're not going to do anything that substantially different to one another. They're both going to get you there or not get you there. They're both going to turn heads or not turn heads. Just calm down and choose. And it was basically people arguing about what kind of a car they should drive. And that was why I just found myself, I didn't engage in the conversation. I just acknowledged that it was happening around me. The ridiculousness, I think, you know, goes across yeah, all sure. academic territories. But in answer to your question, how do I feel about it? I feel that dance is the canary in the coal mine, and it always has been. It's the first one to drop off the perch. And if we don't pay attention to it, if we don't worry about it, then we lose every single other arts and humanities subject that can't immediately have a translational value.
Did you say translational value?
Yeah, in, you know, effectively, you know, how do we make sure that this can be, how do we leverage the extrinsic value to the world in general? How can this have, impact?
Yeah.
Which is not to suggest that I don't think impact is important, and not to suggest that I don't think being able to interact with non-academic communities is not an incredibly significant part of the work. Mm. It is, and it should be, but it also shouldn't be at the exclusion of all other things.
People who do dance undergraduate degrees, and, you know, I'm one of those people, although I did it at a conservatoire, which maybe it's a slightly different conversation. At least my colleague certainly thinks it's a different conversation, and I agree with her. That undergrads who, you know, they have to borrow a lot of money to do undergraduate degrees, and people who come out of with dance degrees don't make enough money to pay off that debt, and so they cost the government more because there's this sort of sense of unpaid debt, basically. So in terms of interest and all the sort of things that these government loans are. And so there's a sort of a deeper thing, which is, you know, and I think it's always hard to talk about, which is that the kind of it being something seen as something trivial. And I don't mean in the academy, I just mean dancing in general is something, it's mostly something that women do. It's mostly social dancing, something that men don't like doing unless they're very drunk. And even then they might not like doing it. And so there's something about the kind of expressive body, which in our culture, and when I say our culture, I mean what I heard being described as weird which stands for white, educated, industrialized, rich, and democratic. Mm-hmm. That it's it's the canary you're talking about for me is not just about universities. It's something about that's the kind of way in which dance is seen or unseen or thought of in much broader societal terms, which is kind of me is more troubling in a way because this is just another indicator of that perceived trivialness.
Yeah, the idea, and it's all that stuff about bodies being feminized or interest in bodies being feminized, interest in intellect being masculine. It's that pulling away, isn't it?
Same stuff.
And we're okay to be interested in bodies if we're interested in them in a medicalized way because we're sort of effectively stripping them down to their parts and trying to understand them. So that's an intellectual interrogation. It's an intellectual experiment. It's not really an embodied one because we don't need to have a body to be able to understand a body. All of that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Well, but it does make me think that. If I had a daughter or a son who was 18 and going off to university and thinking that they'd want to study dancing, even if it were at a conservatoire, I'd like to think that I'd just say do whatever you want, but there's a part of me which would be going, wow, it's really that's a very odd street to be stepping down right now in this climate.
Talk to me about why it's an odd street to be stepping down. I'm curious.
Well,
What's that anxiety for you in this imagined scenario?
It's disappearing.
It's disappearing. So in the sense that it's not going to get you a job.
Yeah. And so if someone wanted to be an artist, I would suggest don't go to university. I would say get a practice, develop a practice, learn from other people in workshops. But I would hesitate about the value of an undergraduate degree in this climate, in this time.
That makes me really anxious.
Oh, same here.
I mean, it just makes me really anxious about you not wanting to send your imaginary children down a particular road.
It just
feels like, holy fuck, that's the problem, isn't it? When we are only thinking about the cash value. And I know there's such
that's
a huge
not what
investment.
I, that is definitely
no,
not
I know it's
I'm,
not what
yeah.
I know that's not what you were saying. I know that's not what you were saying because you said go off and do your training in a different way.
Yeah, but spend money other ways, far richer and far. You know, so deal with getting a practice as opposed to
It's the colleague that you talked about whose way of seeing the world was changed. I am entirely the person I am because of the education that I've had. I thought I wanted to be an actor, and then I went and did an MA, and that opened up a completely different way of seeing the world and of understanding myself in the world. I would not be who I am now were it not for that experience. And the idea of that being not available to people makes me so sad, Simon.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I think dance has a... Well, maybe I think it's the same as, you know, like you wanting to be an actor, going to a drama, and then finding something else, you know. And I think that's a very common narrative, in part because most of the people who go to dance schools don't end up being dancers. Even the ones I went to, there was only, I mean, within 10 years, I think there was only two of us still going, like everyone else.
Yeah.
Within a year, you know, it was really the drop-off from finishing full-time training to doing something in the dance world was extraordinary. I feel saddened by it as well, but I also there's a part of me which goes, come on, I can, the wind is blowing. It's blowing in a very clear direction here. And then, so what does that mean in terms of how each of us gets by and how each of us adapts and how each of us makes something for ourselves? And at the moment, for me, that aspect of it, certainly at universities, I'd be going, wow, I'd feel like I'd be pissing into the wind, you know. I'm mixing lots of metaphors there, but, you know, that's how I roll. another one.
It's, yeah.
It's also weird, of course, being in a centre for dance research, seeing this go on. It's slightly disconcerting.
Yeah, because where are your postgraduates coming from if there's no undergraduate training? And the thing is, it's also because there's that thing about now I do sound like a product manager. It's the pipeline issue, isn't it? Okay, I'll put this into context. Yes, it's the pipeline issue because we don't have a route through from primary school into universities for arts anymore. It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah, and you know, except in very, very expensive schools where the arts are still very important.
Yes, yes,
with
absolutely.
Massive theaters but, and...
but what does that do for the ability to be able to represent society back to itself?
That's
that we end up with.
That's universities pretty much across the board, though. That's not just
is
in
it?
The arts. Oh, I reckon. Oh, I don't.
Okay. Go on. What's the noise?
I don't know, because the noise is I don't know. The noise, actually, the real noise is because I think universities weren't supposed to be for everyone. And we've talked about this, I'm sure. And you know,
yeah, we have talked about this, but until we unring the bell
exactly.
and we allow other training processes
exactly.
back and into having value,
that's what we've got.
Universities are the only game that we've got in town.
Yeah.
And so... Oh.
Oh, what a... Susan, I blame you.
Yeah, we could have just been talking about fucking cakes or cocktails. There we go,
exactly.
Something fun. But no, now we're struggling with
things
global
that
catastrophes and education and opportunities for the
And
youth
if you can't blame a member of your own family, who can you blame?
I'm blaming a member of your own family because there's nobody in my family to blame because I don't
I blame
have siblings.
Norman for going up that ladder this morning and being so sprightly as an 80-something-year-old.
Do you know what he's doing? He's renovating yet another house. This is the third
house.
No, Christ, no. This is the third house he's renovated in the last 12 months. Him and his friend are just like building houses, renovating houses. And it's like, mate, just calm the fuck down. Just get down your ladder. He's like, it's not a big ladder. It's just a step ladder. Calm down. Like, you're still 80 fucking three. You're up a step ladder. Oh, no, whatever. I will never get him. I mean, he will be doing it until the silly old bugger drops down dead. I know it for a fact.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's a pretty good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I can only celebrate it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
lovely. It's
no,
lovely to think of this 83-year-old dickhead up a ladder doing stuff, and then one day he'll be dead. And I kind of think. I'm really rather pleased about, not the dead bit, but I'm really rather pleased about the fact that he's up a ladder, fanning around and just thinking that this is what he should be doing.
Yeah, it is really good.
But I think, and there is no clever way to segue back to what we were talking about from my octogenarian father up a ladder, except I think probably there is something in there about experiences.
Hmm.
And, you know, we are only here on the planet for a finite period of time. And that's why I think the translational bits about universities or the is this going to get you a good graduate outcome survey result part
yeah, painful,
of the narrative. Yeah, it just makes me go, I understand why the Tory government thinks that this is a big deal, but it's an error of your own fucking making.
Mm. I did these two conversations we've had these last 2 weeks of the thing that's sort of sitting with me just as an end to what you've just said is I don't know. I feel slightly ambivalent about having opinions on these things. That opinions are, I sort of think of them as quite dangerous things. you know, and particularly we're talking about things that we don't know about, and, you know, universities are something we do know about. But, Yeah, I feel uneasy about even expressing the opinions, because often when I express opinions in any circumstances, afterwards I go, oh, why didn't I just listen a bit more? I could have just listened a bit more. I think it would be more useful for the room to have if I'd just listened a bit more.
But maybe that's a thing for us to try to take into the rest of our life. It's not particularly helpful on a podcast.
No, it's not great on a podcast. It's not.
We're both just going to go. So I can. Mm. Okay. I'm hearing you, Simon. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm. No, thank you. Mm. Exactly. Mm. No, yeah. No. Tell me more about that.
I think we're done. I think we've got enough now. We just probably need a quick sort of bread update at the end of the episode just to lift us. How's bread going? How's bread world?
I had a bit of it was part of my strange week a couple of weeks ago. I'm assuming this will be in the second week of this two-parter, that I made some good bread for the shop, and then thought I'd make some bread for my sister, aforementioned sister and niece who came round last weekend, and they just failed completely. Like, you know, Frisbees. And I just...
Oh!
Yeah, and I have no idea. And so I spent the week sweating over my starter. You have a starter, which, you know, people all know that, and thinking, what the hell's wrong with this fucking thing? And then sort of gave up on it and then just made bread perfectly well last night. Although, because I'd been worried about the starter, I fed it 8 hours before 3 a.m., which is when I get up, right? So that was at 7 p.m. I fed it, thinking it must be ready, because it's a lot slower in the winter, of course. Mm. And fed it thinking I'll get up at 3 and start, it'll be ready to go. And then I woke up at 1:30, this is on Friday morning, and went, maybe I'll just have a look, and it was all ready to go. So I made the bread starting at 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Yep, that was, I earned my £23 this week.
You are committed to yeast. That should be your next tattoo, committed to yeast. Then you can get that lasered off as well.
Do you think I could? Yeah, I don't know how long I should wait, though.
Before you get it, I suppose.
Yeah, I get it, and then just start getting it removed immediately.
Yeah, just
some sort of duration, long duration performance.
Yeah, have somebody burning it off just as the other person's finishing it. Would you ever get another tattoo?
No, I doubt it. I've got too many people in my life with plenty of tattoos that make me think, I love that they've got tattoos. I love those tattoos. I don't need one.
Who are the people who've got tattoos in your life?
You.
Oh. I never think of myself as having tattoos. I just think of myself as having drawings.
Does Bob have a tattoo?
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, there you go. I'm being like Bob.
Okay, well...
Anyway, tattoos for me are a little bit like fist bumps. Just a little bit like not quite sure that... Is that a fist bump? It's not really for me.
They take longer and they're more expensive, but okay, fair point.
Also, easier to remove as well. Fist bumps, that is.
Oh. But I cringe less at a tattoo than I do at a fist bump.
Yep.
And on that bombshell, I'm going to stop recording.